Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.biteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Melvin Marsh, and we're going to be talking about overcoming adversity and struggle with after-hours hypnotherapy. Everyone has something in their life or something about themselves that they want to change, or something comes up and change is forced upon them. Sometimes it's difficult and sometimes it's frightening. But the good news is that no matter what, from controlling anxiety to having medical procedures performed, you don't have to go through this alone. Melvin Marsh is a practicing hypnotherapist in the Augusta, Georgia area with a particular interest in medical hypnosis, phobias, and anxiety. While attending medical school, hypnotherapy was suggested to him to deal with his own anxiety problem caused by a residual medical phobia. As hypnotherapy started to relieve the symptoms, he realized that he could use hypnosis to help his future patients. Eventually, he realized he liked hypnotherapy more than biochemistry and left medical school to pursue studies at HMI College of Hypnotherapy, where he graduated with honors. You can find out more about Melvin and his work by visiting his website, which is afterhourshypnotherapy.com, and I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. So that, I'd like to welcome Melvin to the show. Good day, Melvin.
Good day. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you, and looking forward to chatting today. You know, there's so many things that hypnotherapy can help people with, and there's so many things that people really don't understand about hypnotherapy. So I'm really looking forward to you sharing, you know, the information today in helping our listeners. But I guess, you know, the first place to start is that, you know, I mentioned a little bit in the introduction a little bit about your history, but if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners maybe just a little bit more about your journey, you know, and how it is that you came to this particular point where, you know, you felt this is really what you wanted, you know, to be your focus in life.
Well, this is not how I started my career. I don't think anybody grows up and says, you know what, I'm going to be a hypnotist when I grow up. hey, maybe there are some that do. And if there are, right. I'm sorry. I don't want to be turned into a chicken next time I see you. But I went through, you know, through a lot of different situations. I grew up in South Florida, which was a very liberal area. I'm currently in Georgia. Heaven help me. No offense to anybody from Georgia, but this is not a great place to live for me.
I'm in South Carolina. I'm in South Carolina, so I'm right there with you.
I'll wave at you next time I go see my hypnotherapist who's in Aiken. But I am an observant Jew who also happens to be a gay female-to-male transsexual. I want you to just put all of that together. So you have a gay, Orthodox Jew who is a female-to-male transsexual living in the South who has a weird job and who has a disability on top of that. There is no way that the average person could possibly survive this, but somehow I managed to deal with the fact that I've got I have what used to be called Asperger's syndrome. It's no longer called that. I have epilepsy. And a lot of people, you know, basically thought I was going to be little more than a vegetable for a part of my life. Jokes on all of them. I ended up with bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, and a hypnotherapy diploma. But this is not a great place to, you know, to be, you know, in general. So no matter what, every time I walk out that door, I'm being hit with a slur, being threatened, or whatnot. So I have to learn, or had to learn, how to basically be okay and be able to say, fine, you guys are going to be like that. That's okay, because I'm better than you, and just get go past that. And with every single thing that does happen, you know, I've had people actively attempt to sabotage my business, which I'm currently running. You know, I mostly do remote and virtual hypnotherapy.
Right.
I also do it in my house because that makes it much easier for the patients, clients, whatever exactly we're calling them. We can call them either one. I'm also an EMT, so I actually can legitimately say patient. And, you know, I do a lot of work also with the transgender community who, let's be real, they might not want to leave their house to go see a provider either.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
especially if you're in, you know, the South, trying to find a hypnotherapist and having other problems that might make it hard to leave, you know, at least I am there. I can help them, or I can point them in a closer direction if they need to. So I'm here basically to really help those who really can't help themselves or are in areas where it's just not friendly to them. Because I have been there many, many times.
Yeah. You know, and see, to me, you know, when you first sent me the information, when I first received the information about you, to me, that was what really drove me to want to speak with you, is because there, you know, that you have in the past and currently are confronted with challenges that would just knock some people down, you know, and they would find it really hard to get back up again, you know, and yet, you know, not only do you get back up, but you thrive and you strive and you know, and beat expectations, you know, that people, you know, would place on you. And, you know, and to me, that's, you know, that's the kind of inspiration that I, you know, want the listeners to hear. Because there are people out there who are touched by, you know, I mean, when you talked about first about, you know, the medical issues, I mean, those alone would, you know, stop people from thinking that they can, you know, achieve what they can, or limiting what they can achieve. And then you have the transgender aspect, again, you know, particularly in today's environment and in the South, you know, and then,
in the South.
You know,
oh,
yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, each of those areas, but, you know, the one thing I, you know, when I told people that I was moving to South Carolina, I mean, I did it because I have family in the upstate that needed me to be here. But the first thought was, oh my God, you know, what are you doing? And then, you know, there were you know, I got all kinds of condolences. But then there were people saying, well, you know, it needs you there. And that's what, you know, when you started talking about what you were doing, where you are, that was my first thought, is they need you there, you know, to do what you're doing. So anyway, that was just my thought, you know, that so anyway. Let's
make me feel very important.
But you are, Mel.
Thank you.
You
I have my ego stroking here.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you know, because I have, you know, the one thing that I have learned, I've been doing this show for 6 years, so I have, to, and I've literally talked to hundreds and hundreds of people who have struggled and like I said, and survived, you know, and, you know, become an inspiration, you know, and to me, that's the highest achievement that we can have in this lifetime, is to become inspirational to others around us and, you know, provide assistance, you know, and that, you know, that's what you're doing. So, anyway, whenever, you know, you go outside your door and some of those people say anything, think, well, Robert said.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to have part of this interview transcribed, and I'm just going to put it out on my sign and go, no, wrong answer.
Exactly, exactly.
And then they're going to be like, who's Robert? And I'm going to be like, who's Robert?
Right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's what he said.
Any Rob.
So, yeah. Well,
and
you know, okay.
Bob,
so,
to be anyone.
Yeah. Well, you know, I go by anything. Let's start. I want to kind of talk a little bit about hypnotherapy. So when I read through the introduction, you know, you were introduced to it, from some kind of medical residual.
Yeah.
Term. So tell the listeners how you were introduced to it, and what were your feelings at first, and then how you kind of shifted and came around.
Okay. Well, first let's go back just a little bit, because it's more important to find out how the person with the medical phobia ended up in medical school.
because
nobody ever believed that one. Many moons ago. Okay, not that many moons ago, because I'm not that old, but, you know,
a few years ago.
Yeah, this was, it was like 2009, so it wasn't exactly ancient history. But I was getting ready to transition from female to male, and I was really, really scared of my providers. I mean, I hadn't gone to the doctors in years. I had to be very selective of who I went to, just because I was terrified that they were going to reject me, when I was pregnant. I almost died because nobody would actually see me or treat me when I was pregnant with my daughter, who's now about to turn 14, by the way. Heaven help me. I'm a parent to a teenager.
Wow.
And, yeah. And eventually I got up enough courage to go through the top surgery. And I started to relax a little bit more because I liked the surgeon. He was very calm. He was very cool. He actually treated me politely, which was really weird because I was, you know, surgeons are supposed to be, you know, surgeons.
Right.
And I was like, okay, maybe I have this, maybe I can get over more of this phobia. So I ended up, telling my therapist at the time what I was planning on doing as far as exposure therapy to myself, and she's like, oh my God, I can't believe you want to do this alone. I was like, but no, well, Virginia, I can't pay you and my insurance doesn't cover you. She's like, okay, don't worry. This is a good plan. Just be careful. So I ended up making arrangements to shadow my surgeon, as well as to volunteer in the emergency room of a hospital that was right across from my neurologist, who I trusted immensely. So I started the training there, and on like the third day or so, I was like just driving home. I get this call from a friend of mine saying that one of my friends died. She was a male to female transsexual, and she had a bad throat problem that we'd been, you know, annoying her for months. Tracy, you got to get it looked at. Come on, come on, come on. But she kept going to the doctor, and they kept laughing at her because she was trans.
Mm-hmm.
By the time doctor number four looks, say, uh-oh. First of all, as a physician or anything else, as a patient, you never want to hear your doctor say, uh-oh.
Right, right.
It was stage four throat cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And worst he'd ever seen. He's like, okay, we've got two options because we have two options. We could start chemo,
right.
We can speed it through, but the odds are you're not going to survive the first round. Or, number two, we could just make you comfortable. She was stubborn and a fighter, and they started chemo like the next Monday. She got diagnosed on like Tuesday. She was dead the following week, the day after, a few hours after she got home from the hospital. So I got really, really ticked off, which I think most people would do. And I burned my way through getting most of the phobia down. I went through an entire post pack of pre-medical stuff, took the MCAT three times, applied to medical school four times, kept getting rejected and being made fun of in the interviews because I was trans and Jewish. So it was pick your poison. They either would go for one or the other. But by the time I finally got in, I was so much better, but I still had an anxiety problem. this is genetic. I swear to you, my father has an anxiety problem. My grandmother, you know, had an anxiety problem. So that they already knew that. They put me into therapy immediately because they said, look, this is medical school. You already know you have an anxiety problem. This is going to get it worse. I assure you, we promise you this. Well, so they introduced me to this therapist, who actually was another LGBT therapist. You know, thank goodness for that, so I was a little bit less scared of him. But he also mentioned that he had training in hypnotherapy on the first day, which kind of freaked me out right there. I was like, I'm not willing to go that route. I don't know enough about it. And that is the really weirdest thing that you can say to me on the first time of me meeting you is, actually, there were two things he said that startled me. One, he told me where all the gay cruising sites were in Augusta, and then he also told me he was a hypnotist. And I'm sitting here going, I don't know what to make of you. I like you as a person, but that's just the weirdest intake ever. So my semester got worse. I ended up getting sexually assaulted because somebody found I was trans. I got robbed multiple times. I hate Augusta, for in case anybody's ever curious, mostly for that reason. I even got abused on my medical school's campus, which, since everybody knows I'm in Augusta, you can very easily find out which medical school that is.
Right.
There's only one here. And so finally, by the time I was like, okay, now I think I really should try this hypnosis, because things are just getting worse. By the time he was like, by the time I said, let's try this, and I was agreeing, he was like, at this point, we need to get you more stabilized. You know, I was having what are called ab reactions without going into trance. That's a bad sign. That's a really bad sign. And so I ended up going on a leave of absence. On my leave of absence, because who wouldn't, after being raped and assaulted and spending lots of time in the hospital? Let's be real here. I went and I did some studying online. I actually was looking for stuff on Groupon. I love Groupon. I'm a Groupon addict. And I just typed in hypnotherapy, and this little class came up, and I was like, hey, for $40, you know, I want to learn a little bit about it. It's not going to make me qualified to do jack diddly, but it'll be fun. You know, I'll learn.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I took this class. I found out I was really, really susceptible to hypnosis, because the first introductory class, I had to go through it four or five times before I actually was awake by the end of it, because I kept going into trance and going to sleep.
Okay. All right.
So but I learned a lot, and I said, okay, well, this isn't too bad. That's good. I'm going to go search for a hypnotherapist. And, you know, I approved that with my psychiatrist and with my normal therapist, who was helping me with the PTSD. I found a psychotherapist who also did hypnotherapy. He's hiding in Aiken. He's about to leave his practice, so I'm very, very sad. And I started working with him very, very well. I don't have an anxiety problem anymore. I used to average around an 8 out of 10. I'm now averaging a 2 out of 10.
Wow.
Things can blow up next to me, and I'll just turn and go, really? And and they're like, you know, anything can happen. Anything can happen. One of my friends came in with one of my sessions, and she just thought it was so funny how relaxed I would get. And she actually came up right after my session with Paul. I was half in trance, and she just like picked up my arm and dropped it. She was just having so much fun, and as all of them were laughing at me, I was like, I don't care, I'm comfortable. But when I was starting to see my hypnotherapist, I also found this free class online, not on Groupon, surprisingly, but Hypnosis Motivation Institute had a short class. Their foundations course, which you can take, it's free. And I was like, you know, I'm just so interested now that I want to learn more. Mm-hmm. And so I was taking that you know, I took that, you know, very quickly, you know, did very good in it. And when I was getting ready to go back to medical school, because they somehow approved that, they said, my one therapist basically informed my husband, didn't ask, didn't even tell me, but informed my husband that he was to pay for advanced hypnotherapy training for me as a backup plan because I was really getting sick of the attitudes in medical school. So I ended up as a hypnotherapist. I graduated myself with honors. I mean, just sped through those classes. Liked it so much more than the harassment I was getting at my school. I mean, one person accused me of rape. I'm a female-to-male transsexual. I do not have a penis. I cannot provide a sperm sample. But seriously, they had witnesses saying I raped her. I was like, guys, really? I also had witnesses saying that I was nowhere near her. Because as an Orthodox Jew, I do not stay. I will not be in the same room unattended with another, you know, with a female. That's, you know, I do that very, I mean, I won't even touch another, you know, a female on their hands. That's part of the modesty laws. And I don't do that. So, and I also don't have a penis. So but I have to stress that. And I also had multiple doctors say, Melvin is biologically female. So basically I got kicked out because of stupidity, or less because of stupidity, or both because of stupidity. At a certain point, it was like, I don't care. I'm a hypnotherapist. Go worry about your own self. So I finished up my hypnotherapy training in a ridiculously fast amount of time, to the point I think I may have scared my tutor, to be honest with you. she's like, this should not have occurred this fast. But at least you have really good grades. And then I did my clinical internship, which gives you another 200 hours of clinical work. So the classes that you take for the diploma, that's about 300 clock hours. So that's a lot of hours. And then you've got the 200 clinical hours to actually allow you to be certified. So now you're looking at 500 hours of training. This is literally some of the most training you could ever have by any school around. And this is the only school that's like accredited. So it's actually an accredited school.
Mm-hmm.
And now since then I've been working on building my business, attempting to, it's very difficult living in Augusta, but I'm trying to get out on Skype and remote. Right before this thing, I was setting out, mailings to some of the yoga studios because I hadn't hit up the yoga studios yet, saying, "Hey, need any stress management?" Yeah, a little bit after this interview is concluded, I'm going to be running off to the post office to mail a lot of other mailings.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, the fact that you're able to provide the service online or remotely is great to begin with, because being where you are, the location where you are, is going to have a lot of inherent limitations, you know, so and prejudices and all that stuff that goes along with that. So, you know, it seems that your experience personally, what hypnotherapy did for you, and what you can do for your clients/patients, is what really is the key. You know what I mean? I mean it's like it's a, you know, the medical aspect and also the gay transgender aspect. Those are two areas that. I'm not to say that the stress and anxiety, you know, that's important. You know, there's a lot of that going around.
It is important. And that's what a lot of people come to me for. They just fall asleep in my recliner, and I'm like, good night, here's your blanket.
Well, you know, and that is a major issue facing, you know, people today. It is the high level of stress. So, but, you know, it seems that, you know, your experience and that little niche that you occupy, you know, would really be it just would be so beneficial. I mean, there is such a need for that, you know, that focus, that it, you know, that you know, I mean I can see there's, you know, should be you should be do very well in that area, you know, keeping in mind, because, you know, particularly again, you know, we talked about the South, and not everybody is is closed in their thinking. There are some lights, bright lights in the South too, but generally speaking, there is a mindset that can be very dogmatic, you know, and it can create a lot of issues. So now, you know, as you went through and you got all of the, you know, you got the experience, you got the training. What would you say? Oh, and one of the things I did want to mention, I noticed when I was going through your website that when you do the online assistance, is that you can use something called the HIPAA compliant Zoom. Can you explain what that is? Because I think some people, especially if they want to, you know about regulations, that's important.
Yes, HIPAA is one of the many parts of the various privacy laws. I as an EMT am required to go by HIPAA, which means I'm supposed to be, you know, making sure that any patient identifying information is, you know, completely stripped. You know, the only thing that you tell me, it goes in my record, it is coded. It is that, assuming I even keep a record of the session. If you do not want me to keep a record of a session at all, I do not keep a record, period.
Mm-hmm.
You can easily walk into my office, my home office. I don't even have to, if you do not even want to tell me your name, or you want to tell me your name is Superman, I will write down Superman. I don't care.
Uh-huh. Right.
But because your patient, your privacy is of the utmost importance.
Yeah.
Now, Zoom is apparently one that is HIPAA compliant. Which I did not know until a social worker told me, and I was like, really? And then I made a note of that, because there are some people that that will insist on using Skype. Skype is not HIPAA compliant.
Right.
But if they want to use Skype, I'm cool with that. I don't care. I mean, I'm easy to find on Skype. It's, you know, it's afterhourshypnotherapy@gmail.com. Do a search for me, you'll be there. You know, you can drop me emails or not, or notes or whatever you need to drop me. But the fact is that I can identify you. The fact is that other people can identify you.
Right.
The fact is, I think Skype keeps records of your conversations. I think they do, because you can see, you know, call ended. So, you know, you can see that type of stuff.
Right.
I'm not sure if there's a way to turn that off. Zoom, pretty much, you get I will say, I'm going to be seeing you in, you know, 10 minutes on Zoom. Okay, I go onto Zoom, I find the invite, I email it to you, you bing in. When
right.
it's time, we have our little discussion, and then
right.
you disappear. And it's
okay.
It's much more impersonal, it's much more safe, and much more, you know, they made sure that it's as compliant as it can be.
Yeah.
And which means it
well,
takes
good.
That
you know,
whole
yeah.
burden off
you know,
me.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. You know, and see, you know, for many people that's, you know, that's real important, you know. And you know, that when I saw that on your website, I really wanted to point that out, because, you know, again, you know, when someone is considering retaining the services of someone, to help them with issues. They want to know that, their discussions could be in confidence, that, what they say is not going to, all of a sudden be posted anywhere for anyone to see, and also that the person is qualified, and you also, indicate on your website, your qualifications as well. So,
yeah. The only thing I do want to point out is that if I find that you are a danger to yourself, to others, or if I find out something about like child abuse or elder abuse, all bets are off.
Yeah.
I am a mandatory reporter and have had to use that. I'm not only a mandatory reporter, as somebody who technically is a mental health counselor, at least that's what my paperwork says, but I'm also an EMT. I'm required to, if I see something odd, and I know, if I know the person's address, I technically have to say something, or else I can get in deep trouble.
Yeah, don't want that. Okay, well, we're actually a little past halfway through the show, Melvin, so I want to take just a quick break. And do want to invite listeners, if you want to call in and ask any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to post them. And then when we come back, Melvin, I want to talk a little bit more about hypnotherapy. And, first of all, is everyone a good candidate for that? And what are – can it help – with everything. So anyway, we want to talk a little bit about who's good for it.
We'll do that after the break.
Okay, great. So everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide: books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Again, everyone, thank you for staying with us. My very special guest today is Melvin Marsh, and we're talking about overcoming struggle and adversity with after-hours hypnotherapy. You can find out more about Melvin and his work by visiting his website, which is afterhourshypnotherapy.com. And again, I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Melvin.
Okay. Well.
Okay. Great. So now let's talk about who are good. Now you mentioned when you went through that it took you several times to go through the class because you were such a good candidate for this stuff.
I was overly good. I was overly good.
What made you such a good candidate? And what are some things that for people out there wondering, is this good for me?
Well, one of the things that we know is that basically everybody can go into hypnosis. It is a very, very natural, very, very normal phenomenon. Matter of fact, that phrase highway hypnosis that you get when driving long stretches of road, you are actually in a trance. You're in an eyes open trance. You should not be in an eyes open trance because it's dangerous, but still you're in a trance. If you've ever gotten lost in a good book, and you didn't hear your spouse screaming at you to take out the trash or do this or that or the other. Guess what? You either have selective hearing or you were in a trance or both.
Uh-huh.
Getting lost in a movie. Getting lost in, you know, maybe you're a football fan. I don't know. I'm not. But, if you know, maybe you're doing that same thing. You know, one time my husband, I kept telling him to do something. I literally had to stand in front of him, turned off the TV, and waited for him to bounce back. And then he was like, when did the TV turn off? About 30 seconds ago. He had to come out of trance. It was hilarious. But we do know that some people will take different types of inductions better than others. For example, there are some people that really, really like their, you know, very direct suggestions. If you go to a stage show, let's say you're going to a stage show and they're trying to do an induction on the entire group to see who's the best subject. The people who are going to be, like, if they do heavy light where one of the hands goes really, really high up and the other one starts falling, those people are either somnambulists, which are the best subjects. They're not incredibly common, but they're the best subjects. Or they're people who take direct suggestions really, really well. So those are your best choices. They will just go. One of my first subjects that I ever did, she takes direct suggestions so well that I, at this point, no longer have to give her any suggestions. I just have to breathe on her, and she goes into trance. It's hilarious. There are other people. I'm not kidding. She doesn't curse. I got her to curse in trance. You never, ever get anybody to violate their value system, but it was hilarious,
right.
And I was tired, and I was in the hospital, and she was annoying me. I'm one of the types that actually prefer indirect suggestions. If you want to give me something, tell me a story. You know, do your induction very story-like. Do your progressive relaxation, which, by the way, will get everybody. If the other inductions don't get the people who really like direct, the progressive will knock them out the rest of the way. That's why if you ever do a stage show, you'll a lot of times see people do the one induction, and then they'll do a progressive relaxation afterwards where you start progressively relaxing your muscle. And sometimes you'll see a few others that just kind of swap out. Yep, they were on the edge, and the progressive got them. So in my case, I really like my progressive relaxation. So all you have to do is start one, and I am gone. I've also been so conditioned to trance that if I'm not careful, saying the word trance will get me to go, which is the reason I'm actually on my feet right now, walking my office, because if I sit down and say and start talking about this, you will be very, very bored because you're going to be hearing me just doing deepeners on myself, and that's not going to work. So we do know that everybody can be hypnotized. It's just a matter of finding what technique is best for that particular person. So I have a 100% induction rate. And I get even the people who say, I can't be hypnotized. Really? In 30 seconds, they're jelly in my chair.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good. That's a common question, I think, for, you know, people wanting to know, you know, if they're a good candidate. And so now, you know, we've talked a little bit about some of the things that hypnotherapy is good for. Maybe just tell us some examples of ways or issues you've helped clients with through hypnotherapy, and maybe are there some areas that aren't as easily helped by that method?
Well, okay, so some of the things that I've personally worked with, irritable bowel syndrome, and gotten that to a point where it was manageable. They didn't need to have as many medications. Their doctor was aware that I was doing this. For a lot of these medical things, sometimes, depending on what it is, we ask to have a doctor sign off on it and say, no, you're fine.
Right.
Don't worry about it. You can't hurt anything. I've done a little bit of work with weight loss. That's actually been is one of the hardest ones to work with because there are so many factors that play a role. I have had very good success with smoking cessation, which I knocked off several people in one session. So that's always pleasant. I have a lot of anxiety people.
You mean you've got them to stop smoking. You haven't really knocked them off.
I didn't kill them, but I knocked off their smoking habit.
I'm sorry.
One session, I was so proud of myself. I've done a lot of work with pain. I've done a lot of past life regressions, which is kind of funny. I've done lots of phobias because it's kind of one of the areas I do. But the weirdest thing I've done, and I kid you not, I wish I was joking, is I have become known as the wart whisperer because one of my friends has this wart, and apparently hypnotherapy has been shown to reduce the wart, not to eliminate it, apparently, but to reduce it. So now every time she's bored, she's like, will you talk to my wart? Okay. Why not?
I don't know about putting that one on your card.
there
might be some people.
I got a good laugh out of it.
Yeah.
It was definitely one of the funniest things that I was told. I helped a lot of people overcome, trauma. I am certified in trauma recovery. I do ask, hopefully, that they're seeing a therapist or some form of doctor to sign off and saying, don't worry, milk is not going to do any more further damage.
Right.
I'm actually about to go back to graduate school again to get my second master's, so I at least won't need as many of the medical and psychological referrals. Because at a certain point, that just eats time. I've been working a little bit with depression. A lot of people have been coming to me for self-confidence, and my number one is anxiety, and my number two is basically the pain that I've already mentioned. So,
yeah.
So a lot of inner child work, too.
Yeah, wow. There's three things. I want to do the inner child because that was, I know there's several of my listeners, a lot of my listeners would really be interested in that one. Do want to talk a little bit about past life regression. I love that thing. And then sports improvement, which is another area.
Okay.
So let's first the inner child, because how would you explain the work that you do? Because people may have heard the phrase inner child, but they really don't have an idea of what that means and really how it can affect us in our day-to-day life.
Okay, well, that's easy. I can even possibly use an example of my own, which is kind of a surprise, but this is how I fixed my own phobia before I was fully trained by doing these methods. It's really weird. But in what we do is for inner child work, we find out roughly what an issue is. Perhaps the person already knows that there was a situation that happened when, maybe their phobia started at 9 or something, roughly. Or that, they're trying to let their parents' perfectionism get in, that they've been, nipping at their entire life. Maybe it's time for them to stand up to their parents or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
One time when I had more than just the medical phobia. I also had phobias of closed spaces, open spaces, a few other things. I was basically phobia city. Finally, one day I was like, okay, how on earth do I get back? And, how do I fix a phobia? I know roughly when it started. Knew that. I was like, that's good. And I basically put myself into a trance, focused on seeing myself as an adult, seeing the situation where the phobia started. I was a little girl sitting watching television, and something really scary appeared on the TV, which I didn't understand. And when I asked my grandmother about it, she wouldn't have known. Anyway, she didn't have the science background to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So when this situation happened, adult me was standing, 3 feet away from child me, and child me was starting to freak out and had a lot of questions. And I sat down with child me and actually answered the questions. Since as an adult, And it also happened to be like degrees in some of the things that I was scared of, or that were being shown as examples.
Right.
And I explained in ways that the child could understand why we don't need to worry about this, why we don't need to do that. And the next day, I felt much relieved. Two of my phobias were completely gone, and one was reduced. I was like, wow, that's amazing. One of my more recent cases did involve a person with, she claimed she had a creative block,
mm-hmm.
because her parents were always these like perfectionists. Don't do anything unless you can do it perfectly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, you know, sit back in a comfortable spot because we're going to do some work. And I took her back to somewhere elementary school age. She was, you know, she wasn't specific. I said, we're going to be talking to yourself, okay? And I'm going to say, and your parents might be saying, you know, because she told me some of the things her parents were saying to her when she was a child. And I said, and every time you hear your mom or your dad or whatever saying this, that, or the other, you as an adult are going to be shouting back at your child self, no, that isn't true. You're beautiful. You're smart. You know, people are going to make mistakes, but you're a wonderful artist. And basically, that's how we did it. So I was having her adult self, you know, overcome the, you know, the parents. And now she's actually starting her first creative project in a long time. So that was one.
Yeah.
That was an example.
Yeah.
And I do have lots of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just wanted for the listeners to kind of get an idea, you know, of what that is. And I'm sure people out there can identify with either with that directly, or, you know, can kind of recognize maybe that the situation, you know, manifesting in a different way. But just wanted people to know about that. Now, past life regression, you know, the whole hypnotherapy, gosh, it's, I think, Many Lives, Many Masters, back to Moody.
I read that so many years ago.
Yeah, I know. You know, what was your, you know, once you started getting into hypnotherapy, I'm sure you probably recognized that as something that happened. So was that an area that interested you? What were your feelings about it and experience with it?
Okay, well, I was, let's just say, you know, I graduated high school in 1999 when the New Age, you know, movement was still quite getting, you know, still a fairly good size and was getting very active. So I would often go and, you know, browse through, you know, the various New Age books. So, you know, past life regression, oh, cool, that's another thing that's entertaining. You know, my family is actually very open-minded about that type of thing, ghosts, et cetera. You know, it's like, just be careful whatever you do. So I actually did have some past life regressions performed on me. There is one thing I just want to point out. I will never do anything to a client that I haven't experienced myself. So I just want to point this out.
Good.
So I have, so I can experience, I've experienced this stuff. I experienced it, you know, way before I became a hypnotist. I've always had very positive experiences. My husband, however, did not. One time he actually was the hypnotist because he has some training. He put me into a trance. I lost 2.5 hours. And then he said he was never hypnotizing me again because I was gone. I had that much of time distortion.
Wow.
And so he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So when, you know, but I was still fine, and I also knew that let me be real here. It doesn't matter if the life that you're seeing or whatnot is real or not. To a point, it really doesn't. What matters is, you know, if you're having an issue, if that's how it's gonna appear, and you can overcome it in this dreamlike state, whether or not this was a real life or not, all that matters is the healing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So I want to be very clear. I cannot guarantee with 100% certainty that any life is exactly, you know, real. Although I did one time go into trance with another hypnotist, was experimenting on a with an induction that I now use for my past life regression, and I actually was able to verify every single thing that she, that I said in trance, which was kind of weird, and it sent her. She had chills too, but you know that's not always what you're going to expect.
Yeah.
So,
okay, well,
I mean,
yeah.
I love doing past life regression. That is one of my favorite ones to do.
It's so easy. Great.
I can just chill out, and the client usually is like astounded. I do ask for them that please God record yourself, because sometimes you'll go so deep that you won't remember what was said, and I always sometimes feel awkward recording people because. When you go into trance, your voice tends to get very, very quiet. So you have to have a mic right on you.
Right.
So I ask people to try to keep it near them
so they can have a recording. And you know, that's I think that would be one of the you know the thing, because if you're in the trance and you know your recall may or may not be. You know, that strong. So, it's kind of like a dream state, you know. I mean, when you wake up from a dream, you can go ahead and record them, but as the day goes on, you know, the dream fades, you know, that kind of thing, you know, would happen. Well, the last area, we've only got about 5 more minutes left, but the last area is another area of focus that you have on your website, and that's sports improvement. Talk about that. I mean, it's... Is this a popular area, or tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I ended up doing this because, quite frankly, I'm in Augusta, home of the Masters. So golf is everywhere. You will find golf balls in the weirdest of places. You don't have to be near a golf course. You'll just find them, like, everywhere. Maybe I'm hoping that if I improve everybody else's golf game, they will stop accidentally hitting and breaking my windows. Tiger Woods, one of the best golfers, you know, in history, endorses hypnotherapy and says that that's one of the ways that he became such a good golfer. If you visualize anything enough in your mind, it's going to come to fruition. That's how it's going to appear. It's going to start working. They actually did an experiment. They took a handful of people. I think they were all like basketball players or something. And they divided them into 3 groups. One group did not practice at all. Nothing. Zip, zelch, nada. Did nothing. One of them didn't practice but visualized under hypnosis, visualized themselves practicing. And then the other group actually went out, took the ball, you know, was shooting hoops, doing whatever. After a certain amount of time, I don't remember off the top of my head how long, the hypnosis group performed almost as well as the group who had been practicing.
Mm.
While the people who hadn't practiced obviously did not show any, they may have gotten worse. But imagine if you were doing hypnosis and shooting hoops. I mean, so it just proves that you don't even have to be actually practicing as much, but certainly it helps. But I figured sports improvement would be a very smart thing for me to do, given as though I am central and I really, really do not want any more golf balls breaking my windows. They should be hitting going into the hole, not hitting the windows.
I live on a golf
I don't think my insurance, so. My insurance covers golf balls.
Yeah, so I understand that. Well, Melvin, this has really been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed speaking with you and learning about what you do with the hypnotherapy. And so is there anything, maybe any final words for the listeners of things that we didn't cover, or maybe just anything that you would like to say before we close?
Well, I do more than just hypnotherapy. I'm also a handwriting analyst. One day we should probably talk about that. I am available for, you know, talks, lectures, whatever you want to do. I love talking to kids and helping them to improve their life, especially if they're local to my area. If not, I can Skype, of course. If anybody needs to get a hold of me, I know my website's already going to be put up. But my business email is afterhourshypnotherapy@gmail.com, and I welcome any questions you guys might have.
Great. Well, again, thank you, Melvin. I've really enjoyed chatting with you, and I think I've already started to follow you on Twitter. If not, I'll make sure I do, and also on Facebook. So I look forward to keeping in touch.
Thank you. And you'll see me on After Hours Hypnotherapy on the Facebook. That's the business page.
Yep, so. I saw you posted today's show. So I'm really happy you did that. Thank you very much for that.
Okay. Thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
It's been my pleasure. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Melvin Marsh, and we've been talking about After Hours Hypnotherapy. Again, you can find out more about Melvin and his work by visiting his website, which is afterhourshypnotherapy.com. And again, I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again...
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.